Now, section 7, and the first item is the role of the superior in spiritual direction. First, some general comments before we get into detail. By superior, I mean someone who is distinct from the one in charge of formation, even though there are times when the one in charge of formation is the superior. But here I distinguish. First, a general statement. The superior is an essential part of spiritual formation. This is not something that the superior, busy as he or she may well be about manifold administrative duties, can say, I've got a very good person to take care of that. It's not my responsibility. That is not the teaching of the church. The superior is an essential part of that spiritual direction. And that already is saying a lot, because I'm afraid that even otherwise good superiors are not aware of that responsibility. Second, their role, superior's role in formation, may be either direct or immediate, or they have immediate contact with those who are in whatever their stage of formation. They speak to them, they counsel them, they deal with them, or at least indirect. It will always, if there is someone in charge of formation, be necessarily indirect. But it should not be only indirect. Some direct spiritual direction by the superior is called for by the church. What happens if this is not done early in a person's religious life? The young religious may develop a false dichotomy separating those in charge of their spiritual life from those in charge of their active life. And I know of nothing more grave than for a religious to somehow feel that he or she goes to, or whomever they go to with their spiritual life, their problems and needs. But as far as the superior goes, his or her business is, well, the apostolate, the business of the community, the economics, the daily order. Now, of course, there's a lot of overlapping from the one to the other. All I know is, and how well I know, that many religions are a dark secret to their superiors, because from their early days in the postulancy, superiors have not taken the initiative. So make sure this is not easy as you go through this. This is not easy. If for no other reason, it's because of a lack of time and often a sense of incompetence and not being as equipped. Well, that's not the history of sound religious life. And this thing of developing specialists on the spiritual life in a community, who then can become independent of the superior, no wonder there are conflicts. We speak of the role of superiors in spiritual direction. This does not mean only counsel, SEL, but also giving directives. It is not only informing people, it is also enjoining at times telling people to do this or not do something else. And this is where courses in counseling, or whatever equivalent they have, and there are graduate courses. For example, Father John here from India, a Carmelite priest, is majoring at DePaul University, getting a master's degree in counseling. Now that can be useful. It can be useful. But let me tell you, a great deal of the philosophy behind counseling outside of Christian and Catholic circles is only that. You only advise. You only recommend. You suggest. You enlighten. But you never tell anyone to do something. Do you see the difference? That's not Catholic spiritual direction. Associated with many names, but especially with Rogers, great, famous psychologist in our day, who has written a whole shelf of books. I see Rogerian psychology, I would say in 7, maybe 8 or 9 out of 10 books or articles for religious. Now, it is possible to train people in such a way that you keep cajoling them. Do this. In other words, its direction is do this and don't do something else. Well, that we know is not correct. But then we can go to the other extreme of so canonizing the free will of the individual and the option of that person deciding what he or she wants to do, that they may think they're getting spiritual direction, but they're just getting spiritual suggestion. What does this mean? This, by the way, what I'm talking about now is good for a whole semester's treatment. Because let me distinguish between the superior as distinct from the one in charge of formation, and where the one in charge of formation also has authority to direct, to give orders. Woe betide that community where those in charge, especially of early formation, have no authority except to advise. Do you know what I'm saying? Those in charge of formation better have some authority from the superior, whether the Mother General or Father General or Provincial or local superior or somebody, to not just be nice to the religious, to encourage them, but to tell them, and on occasion tell them off kindly, always sweetly, always, and never without a smile. By the way, if you're not accustomed to smiling, be sure you get in the habit of smiling when you correct. Because this is not direction to see how to play some sport or ski with all the snow outside. This is the religious life we're talking about, where there are things which are to be done, and training in the virtue of obedience is part of spiritual direction. And the best way to train people in obedience is not just tell them about obedience, but how blunt can I be? Give them a chance to obey. But you don't obey, you don't even begin to obey unless someone has the foresight and maybe the courage to command. Our English vocabulary is so loaded with nasty terms like authoritarianism, imposing your will, treating religious like children, all the nasty cliches that by now you've all read and heard about, and that we say to ourselves, should I still tell the person? Yes, tell her. Now, you don't go into a traumatic convulsion because you're called upon to tell somebody to do something. How do superiors exercise this duty, which I call the primary duty, to assist their religious in the spiritual life? And here, of course, I am referring not just to those in first formation, but throughout life. Because if ever, surely in our day, formation must continue from beginning to the very end. Especially by three methods. First, by their example. There is no more effective way that a superior informs and inspires his or her religious than by their own edifying conduct. St. Ignatius requires of all local superiors throughout the order a half an hour special meditation each day on how they have exercised their office during the previous day. And in the periodic visitation with the provincial, they are to report whether they've been faithful to that half hour's meditation. First, then, by their example. Second, by their prudent counsel. Maybe just a word. It's not how much you say, it's what you say, when, and especially the timing. In fact, in spiritual direction, I consider timing most important. And third, by their knowledge of the religious under their care. Spiritual direction, unlike other phases of the spiritual life, cannot be given in general. You've got to know the person that you are giving counsel to. By their knowledge of the church's teaching on the spiritual life, so that you are secure in giving the counsel, or even on occasion, an order. What does the church expect? And third, they should know how to direct others. There is such a thing as reflecting on my method of dealing with others, so that they will relate to me, so that what I say will not be misunderstood, so that what I say is above all clear. And this knowledge of how to direct others, either directly or through those, say, in charge, formally, of formation. Now, it's true that in general what can be done by those under authority should not necessarily be done by the superior, him or herself. To know when to step in. And not to create, and this is a problem that bishops tell me they have often, especially with their priests. And it applies as much, I think, to major superiors or others too, whether local or regional, that unless they, the bishops, and this applies to superiors too, take time out to seek out, to talk things over with those who are in their respective community, what may be developed is an image of the superior as one whom you approach only in time of trouble or to register a complaint or to go over the heads of somebody else because you want to appeal your preference. And that stereotype of a superior, the church, I couldn't be clearer, wants to be changed. In fact, I would say on this very delicate level, often superiors can ask themselves whether some of the administrative work, for which they may themselves as superiors be well equipped, might not be done by others to make sure that they have enough time, and time usually is the problem, assuming personal interest, so they have enough time for what we're talking about, so superiors don't become just administrators. Those in charge of formation have their authority from superiors. So I'm shifting gears to those who are in charge of formation. They should at times tell those under their care what they must do, as we've emphasized before. But in order for one who is not the superior to, as it were, act in loco superioris, you better have some authorization, some delegation. Hence, I recommend some guidelines, even in writing. It would be well, it seems to me, if each community had, and guidelines is as good a term as any, for those in charge of the postulants, guidelines for those in charge of the novices, guidelines for those in charge of the juniors, and so on. Do your communities have those? Do you think it makes sense? Some framework within which you can operate, which may at times have to be changed or implemented, but at least you've got some framework. Moreover, that's number one, regarding those in charge of formation. Again, they should periodically tell the superiors how those under their care are doing. Now this, as one who knows, is perhaps the single most delicate feature of spiritual direction. How much do you tell superiors? How far do you go? Hence the need to have as clear an idea as possible how much those in charge of formation may share with superiors. There are two extremes, both wrong. First, to tell everything, It is not your business to tell everything to the superior. In fact, there's no reason for you to have that position. If they're going to tell the superior anyhow, it's all going to go to the superior. Nothing else. It's a waste of time to tell everything. But knowing so, as intimately as I do, I am absolutely sure there are not a few things which those who are under the care of those with charge of formation want to share just with you. They need your guidance. They want your direction. And they'll say, so they share things with you which they do not want. And legitimately, others to know. So that's one extreme, to tell everything. Our second extreme, to tell nothing. Because then you have another problem. Superiors are the ones who have to decide on whether these people are, say, fit for taking their vows. You tell them nothing. Well, in effect, superiors are not exercising their authority. This is where the guidelines come in. But I would also say that those in charge of formation, having authority, they have authority. They're not merely employees giving counsel. They somehow share in the superior's authority, know how much you've got. But then, first, in general terms, but then more specifically with each individual, it is very practical to know beforehand, so the one with whom you are speaking, who is sharing his or her confidences with you, knows beforehand how much of this you may share, how much of this you may not share, and how much of this you must share. Three distinctions, each very precious. What you may share, if in your judgment it would be useful or helpful. And then the person must trust you that you will use your judgment. What you may not share. There are things, by the way, I hope I'm not surprising you. Does this surprise you? That a person who receives, say, your confidence, who is not the superior, is expected to keep that certain things. Notice, if you just say everything or nothing, it's useless. But certain things that may not be shared. Well, there's where there is no substitute for prudence, especially on the part of the one who is in charge of formation. Seek counsel, and in general, my advice to those in charge of formation is to, if you have any doubt whether you may or may not, to ask the person. Is their confidence, their reputation is at stake? And then, under no circumstances, tell it. In other words, your role in direction, unlike that of the superior, is to assist the persons in their spiritual life. That means you must know them. They must reveal themselves. Now, there too, unless the one in charge of formation is a priest, who has access to the consciences of those whom he directs. And even there is a priest, for example. This maybe is good for you to hear. There are people that I counsel who will tell me, well, I would rather not share this with you. Or they may say, he would have to be under the seal of confession. In other words, each religious has the freedom to reserve certain things in their lives, even from those in charge of formation. I have to say this. Otherwise, the sacrament of penance and the seal of confession would be meaningless. But, and we've touched on this before, but I come back to it again because so much depends on it. I am not for one minute saying that if the religious wants to unburden, say, herself, totally, and even going far beyond what she's confessed, God bless her, all right? No one but a priest in the sacrament of penance has a right to demand certain knowledge, and even then only that which pertains to the confession given up. But then, what do I do with that knowledge? Some of the knowledge, knowing human nature, people do not want to have told to others. And then finally, there are certain things that must be communicated. On both the may not and the must, my advice is to tell the person whom you are directing. In the one case, ask, may I share this with superiors, or would you want me not to do it? If they say no, the answer is no. There are other things, however, which you consider so important that superiors should know it. Then my recommendation is to ask the person whether they would mind, and try to even persuade them to give you permission. But be sure you use your head. Am I clear? So that then they know you're not divulging things which are confidential. And be sure you don't go beyond the facts, but just recall, and this is one thing that I want to mention, if I haven't mentioned before, I consider it simply indispensable that some written record be kept by those in charge of formation of those whose souls they care for. If for no other reason than just to remember certain things that I will, right? Keep to myself, or certain things that should be kept as a record, maybe against the day when it might be needed. Yeah. Those in charge of formation therefore have authority, delegated unless they are superiors themselves, and be clear as to how that authority is to be exercised. Because otherwise, and this I have found, especially with those who have taken their safe final vows, sometimes communities wonder what happened to our young religious, doing beautifully. Well, many factors.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.